Psalm 147. Okay, this is basically looking at an entire big picture of why God did what he did, as far as creating a world, putting us on this planet, everything going on, creating Lucifer. A lot of times when you go around college campuses, young people that got a little education they're about, they really think they've got some tough questions. And some of their so-called tough questions are usually, why did God create Lucifer? You know, knowing if he would have known he's going to fall and cause all this havoc. And that question hopefully will be answered. Psalm 147. Sometimes you look at the Bible very precise, but then sometimes you got to back away and look at the whole big picture. Psalm 147 says this: "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names." Okay, the King James Bible's right there. He telleth. That's a bank teller, counting. You only find that in this unique book. He says, "Great is our Lord and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy." Okay, if you would go to Revelation 4, verse 11, the one book we passed out for Father's Day. "For his pleasure," Revelation 4, verse 11. This is probably the Bible in a nutshell, in one verse. And it says, Revelation 4, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That's everything. That's Lucifer included. Why did he do that? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to give us wisdom and understanding. Help us understand the words. Help us to understand the big picture. Help us to see that you in your infinite wisdom have created an environment to discover who your real friends are. And I pray that you'd help us recognize that we ought to try to be your friend. Try to fellowship with you and help us to understand that, understand the big picture. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation 4, verse 11, God has created all things for his pleasure. Now, sometimes folks tend to think, okay, why did he do that? Well, most everything we do is for our pleasure. Okay, if you go to the store, buy something, why? It's for your pleasure. If you could have totally your way, you probably wouldn't go to the job that you're going to. That's kind of a forced thing. An ideal situation is to do some type of work that pleases you. Okay, but still, most everything we do is for our pleasure. Okay, we buy this, buy that, get rid of this, get rid of that. We get rid of something that doesn't please us. And God has designed this planet, and his whole program is a masterful plan, and his purpose in this is to discover his true friends. That is the ultimate plan, and that is your ultimate purpose in life. A lot of times people go to psychologists, psychoanalysts, and all this stuff, and they're trying to figure out, oh, I'm trying to find myself. And I kind of want to say, well, look in your license and you probably see your picture. These people are trying to analyze the spiritual makeup of somebody without the Bible. And the psychiatrist is, did you realize the psychiatrist is the number one profession of suicide rate? Psychiatrist. They're supposed to be the ones with all the answers. And that's the number one occupation of a suicide rate. And the reason why is they're trying to delve into the spiritual world without God or without the Bible. And they can't deal with that. Okay, and so what God has done is He, in eternity past, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Godhead in complete unity, in complete harmony and friendship in the time past. And then God said, well, you know, we're having such a good time. Let's see if we can expand upon this and have some more friends. And so He spoke this world into existence. Okay, so then you got the world being created. You got Lucifer being created, knowing full well, God knowing full well that Lucifer was going to have pride, be found up with pride, and that Lucifer is going to be the perfect counterfeit of God. A lot of people tend to think that Lucifer is going to be the exact opposite of God, but if you want to find somebody who works as close to God as anybody, it will be Lucifer himself. And that's a strange thing to people. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. And sometimes they're very difficult to tell apart. And she says, this is all part of God's plan. Every bit of it's part of His plan. So what He did in eternity past, God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, complete unity and harmony, and said, okay, let's make a world. So this is going to be our toy. This is going to be our toy that we're going to play with. We're going to put little peoples on there, and we're going to play with these toys. But yet we're going to do something that's totally different, is we're going to breathe into these people a breath of life so that these people can actually reject us if they choose. Why? To discover His real friends are. This is all part of God's plan. He designed a plan to increase His enjoyment of friendship and family by this planet. Now, if you look at children, you learn a lot of things from children. Little children, when they play, they are trying to create a situation of happiness and security. Little boys usually will play an occupation. They'll get the backhoes out and play in a sandbox. In my case, I would get my John Deere tractors out and my planter and my combine, and I'd play farming or play army, things like that. Being raised in a farmhouse until I was 12 years old, when Dad built the house that they're in now. We had an old farmhouse, and we had these two rooms where we never went into. And as a kid, I thought the booger man lived in those rooms, because we'd never go back there. I thought, man, I have no way am I going in there. That's where the boogeyman lives. And so when I discovered that he didn't live back there, that's where I'd put my tractors, and that's where I'd put all my toys. And what I was doing is I was play-acting like God. Moving the tractors around as I wished, moving this around as I wished. Girls, they'd play dolls, they'd play cooking, things like that. Eventually, we grow out of those things and we deal with life. But that is, in essence, what God has set up. And they're trying to create children, try to create a happy environment, an environment of joy. And they're trying to learn what life's all about. Now, God created Adam years ago, created Adam in the image of God. Adam fell, and everyone since that day were created the first time we were born in the image of our parents. A lot of people think that man today is created in the image of God. That is not true. I was born the first time in the image of my parents, my mom and my dad. That's my parents. So that's who I was born in the image of. When I got born again, that's when I was born in the image of God. John chapter 1 shows us that. And so, Adam, with these image of God, we have likes and dislikes in very similar to God. And so, God has designed a situation where He can discover who His true friends are, and Earth is, in essence, God play acting for a future service in the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ is running the show. And he wants helpers. But he doesn't want anybody to help him. He is going to be very careful who he selects to help him in his kingdom. For example, if you owned a company, if you owned a business, say a jewelry store, and you didn't have any children, and you would like to see your jewelry store to continue on even after your death, and you want to find somebody to either become a partner in the store or to move forward in that thing, you're not going to pick anybody off the street. You're going to eventually hire somebody, and you're going to put all sorts of tests on this individual to see, is this person going to be somebody that I want to continue my business? Not anybody that walks off the street, not anybody that you haven't tested. You're going to test their honesty, they're going to test their integrity. You're going to do everything you can to try to figure out, is this person somebody that I want to continue my business? Jesus Christ is doing the same. He has a kingdom planned, just like he planned with Adam and Eve, but they botched it. And so he wants helpers, but he's not going to select anybody to be his helpers. When a person gets born again, you are promised to go into that kingdom, but you are not promised to partake and help Jesus Christ. That is conditioned. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has a master plan. So what is his motive? Okay, the motive for the creation of God is strictly for his pleasure. That's what he's done. Revelation chapter 4. Now I'm just going to cite a few references. If you want to look them up, you're more than welcome to. In 1 Chronicles 29 verse 17, it says that God takes pleasure in uprightness. In Psalms 5 verse 4, it says that God does not take pleasure in wickedness. In Isaiah 53 verse 10, it says that it pleased God to bruise his son at Calvary. So the idea there is that it pleases God to create an atmosphere or circumstance where he can pardon someone or something that is not upright, that's wicked. He could pardon them, and that would bring him pleasure. He can do that also. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. So if you look at this, okay, illustration of this is, a week back, took Lindsay over to Brent and Jen's for a couple days. I must have left her there. She's still over there. And so while I'm over there, usually Gabby or Joab, my grandchildren, they say, Papa, I broke something. Okay, and so I'm the fix-it man, but I'm glad to do that. And so this time around, Gabby's bicycle, the back tire was bad. Okay, so the thing has fallen out of her pleasure. Why did they buy a bicycle for? For her pleasure. So the bike was fulfilling its purpose. It was upright. It was doing what it's supposed to be doing. It was fulfilling her pleasure, but entropy came in and the thing started falling apart. And it fell out of her pleasure and it was stuck in the corner of the garage. So Papa shows up. So we have joy in redeeming something. We have a joy in fixing something that wasn't upright. So her and I went to Walmart, and you know, I was looking for the tires there. And when I used to buy a bicycle tire, there's the tire. But now they stick them in a box. I walk by it two or three times looking for the tires, and there they are in a box. That's weird. And so Gabby and I, we get the tire, we get the inner tube, we come back, we fix it, we redeem it, we fix the quality that was broken. It wasn't upright. It wasn't fulfilling its purpose, and she gets on a thing, and she has pleasure, and I have pleasure. Same thing what the Lord does. In that, God has pleasure in the uprightness of man, but in this age of 6,000 years from Adam, a lot has happened. And there are broken people everywhere. And then we have a God that wants to fix them. But the problem is that they have to be willing to be fixed by that God. He is more than ready and he's more than willing. And if they will well up in pride and say, no, I will not come to that God, and no, I will not be fixed, and then God will continue to work on them until the point where if they have totally and absolutely rejected that God and die, God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And Ezekiel says that three times. He doesn't take pleasure in that, but it happens. It happens. So the masterful plan of God is for His pleasure. The second thought is, how does this God understand or discover who are His real friends if they are nothing but mere robots? Okay, so you got your G.I. Joes out, and the kids play with those. Those G.I. Joes do what the God, the boy, says. He is like God moving them around. And if he wants to set a grenade there, he blows that boy up. Okay, the G.I. Joe's up, and that's the way he's playing. Okay, now the thing is what if God, or what if the capability was to breathe into those G.I. Joes a breath of life where that those toys can reject its master? That's what God's done. Okay, and so God, the purpose of life, what is the purpose? It's the fellowship with God. If you would look in 1 John chapter 1, the purpose for every one of us to get life, to breathe air, to have a soul breathe into us, your purpose is fulfilled when you fellowship with God. But how does a sinful man do that? How does an unholy man or a sinful man fellowship with a holy God? Well, first you got to come to Jesus Christ and get born again, get born in His image. And that's by faith in Jesus Christ. Then you develop a relationship with that God. 1 John 1 verse 3, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." There's nothing better than a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So you got light, you got darkness. But in God, there the light is, but what is man doing? He's chasing after the darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. But notice, the purpose of life is to fellowship with that God, and that God is in the light. And so when you come to the light is this book, you come to the light, you learn to fellowship with that God. And then He discovers at least the start of a friendship. It's just the start of a friendship, though. Okay, there's more to it than that. Okay, he's starting the friendship, but yet the Lord is wanting to find a friend to actually serve with Him, to work with Him in the millennial kingdom. So now what's His method? Okay, so He has breathed into each of us the breath of life, so we have a free will. Now we can choose good from evil. We can choose light from darkness. We have these choices. This is God's way of discovering who's going to voluntarily come to Him. You see, the difference between this book, if you want to call religion, but that's not the term really in the Bible, but if the difference between biblical Christianity and any other religion is that biblical Christianity wants people to voluntarily choose to come to Jesus Christ. No deceptions, no tricks. We lay everything out right in front of you. This is the choice, and it's your choice. If you look at nations, when a nation becomes dominated by the Islamic faith, the Muslim faith, Saudi Arabia, what happens? They take your freedom of choice away. And there are no Baptist churches in Saudi Arabia. There are no churches at all in Saudi Arabia except the Islamic faith. Why? That is forced on people at the end of a, you know, knife, if need be. If you look in history, you go back into the Dark Ages when the Catholic faith has dominated a country and becomes the first major religion of that country. Go to Italy, Okay, you will see one of two things. You will see absolute corruption throughout the entire nation, or you'll see poverty. Poverty, just go down south. That's what you'll see. When that religion dominates a country, and you will see a forced faith on people. Either string them up and torch them, hold a wafer up. Do you believe this is Jesus Christ? No, that's a cracker. This is God manifest in the flesh. If you don't believe it, torch them. You say, hey, they don't do that anymore. Don't count on it. They're not in a majority here yet. Now, when biblical Christianity becomes a majority of a culture, that would be this country in the 1770s, 1780s, 1790s. The churches were full and flowing over in those days. Okay, and a lot of the biblical Christianity had a very strong influence in the founding of this country, especially Rhode Island. And what does the faith of Jesus Christ do? It gives people the freedom to choose. Nothing's forced on anybody. You have a